Somi, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM, hands-on creative community radio for Greene and Columbia County.
Hi, I'm Maria Manhattan, and I hope you'll join me in the Hudson Cafe here at WGXC on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month, 11 a.m. till noon. We're playing an eclectic mix of music from the American Songbook, old standards sung by young artists, as well as the jazz greats, plus an occasional sprinkling of the unexpected. Leave your worries at the door and come on into the Hudson Cafe. I've got your table waiting.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Okay, good morning. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. This is Now Boarding the Travel Show with Jim and Dan. We are broadcasting live at the WGXC studio in Hudson, New York. It's a beautiful November morning, a beautiful Sunday morning. We are hearing the backdrop of the church music right above where I am coming out of in this studio in the basement. And Jimmy, he is live with us from no other place other than, Jimmy, you can say it, where are you?
Yeah, I'm going to hold you to it. Where do you think I am right now?
Jimmy, I think you're somewhere in the deep, dark grasps of Thailand, somewhere in the jungle on a trail. You've probably just hunted down some endangered animal. I don't know. Where are you? Are you? No, you're probably in Bangkok.
Well, you got the country right, and yes, at the end, yes, correct, in the concrete jungle of Bangkok, indeed.
All right. Well, you know what? It's great when some items just are unchanged. Although, what, you've only been there for about 4 or 6 months? So that was a change.
It's over 6 months. Over 6 months
over
now,
Over 6 months. Man, yes. How many broadcasts has that been for us? About 12? About 12
for
13.
Us, maybe 3 for Moody.
Oh, geez. Okay, so that's a sad point. Not that, I don't know. I mean, it's terrible because I think it saddens other people besides you and I. The forces of this program of Now Boarding.
Indeed, Dan, indeed. But the Hawaiian Lion, as you've coined him now, does appear to be available for today's show.
He's active. He's not dormant.
That is what I've been told.
Okay. Jimmy, I am going to give you liberty. You have entire leeway to reach out and accept him on board this program, this ship. We're sailing. Hopefully he doesn't do anything to make us capsize or go down. Okay? But I'm going to allow
yes.
you that I'm operating this board. You have the one responsibility and duty to get him onto our network. And hopefully, you know, this hiatus is over with.
I agree with you, Dan, and I'm calling him right now so he could pop voice in at any point.
Okay.
So, Dan, I'm actually really quite excited. I know last show we didn't have a show. We were in the middle of a pledge drive, and you were traveling quite a distance to do some outdoors activities.
Yeah.
Is this correct?
Yeah. Hold on, Jimmy. Let's get back to that point. Are we, is someone with us now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Wow. Groggy as a Sunday morning.
Oh, my
Hawaiian
goodness.
The Hawaiian Lion.
3 a.m.
Voice, the rusty voice at the moment, but we're gonna get that off and get him back to gold.
Wow.
I didn't think it was that bad.
What do you mean it wasn't that? You're neglecting your responsibility to being the third person on this program?
No. I'm saying I didn't think my voice was that bad right now.
Jimmy, do you hear the vanity? Jimmy, our point was that he hasn't been with us. I mean, I thought we injected pure guilt to him.
Oh, no.
And he was just concerned about his beauty.
Well, it's been much worse. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
You know what, Moody? I love you. I really do. I have to be honest. Okay. God bless you.
All right. Yeah.
And God bless the people above the studio right now.
Yeah.
And may the gates open up soon.
And God bless the country that he serves, Jimmy. Okay. At least
I think we can all serving. Agree. We can all agree with that. So, Dan, I want to get back to it. You mentioned, I know you last show, you didn't have a show because you were actually traveling in the midst of your work season. I was very impressed to hear this. I'm looking forward to hearing all about it. Where did you go? How long did you stay? How many peaks did you summit? Give us the details.
Okay. Moody, I don't know if you are aware, but we didn't have a program as we were scheduled to the
Moody
third
just realized,
Sunday.
Moody just realized, Dan, about 8 hours ago that we had a show.
Okay, Moody. So,
no, that's not true. That's not true. I was just checking with you. And to my credit, I texted...
Oh, he's even giving himself credit, Dan.
No, I know.
I texted Jimmy 2 weeks ago to see if we were having a show, and we were not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's okay. But to that point, we did not have a show because there was no one amongst the three of us, that being me, who could operate the board. I know Jimmy gives me hell for having he states that I have an ineptitude to operating technology. But in fact, I am the one who operates this board, Moody, and that's why we didn't have a show. I was out with my girlfriend in the spectacular, beautiful state of Colorado. And it was majestic. I don't know if you've ever been there. Have you ever been to the Rockies? Moody?
I have not been there.
Okay, just speak through the microphone, okay?
I got you.
Okay, I don't think Jimmy has either.
No, I have not, Dan.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that's where we were. Yeah. It was my girlfriend's birthday that weekend, and she said that my birthday gift to her would be to come out and join her in Colorado. So I apologize to the station for missing last episode, but sometimes there are points where you have to deliver, and I enjoyed every moment that we were out there together.
I couldn't agree with you more, Dan, and I'm very happy you did that, and you know, I know I've had my hiatuses. We won't even get into Moody again about his hiatuses, but this was one that Danae definitely deserved.
Yeah.
So happy that you did. Happy you not only took a break from the radio show, but more importantly, took a break from your normal working schedule to go and enjoy her birthday in Colorado.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. And I want to orient this show from couple items that I'll discuss in way of the trip, in way of Colorado being surrounded by the 14,000 foot peaks in the valley that we were in southwest Colorado. And I would like to begin, I'm going to begin, whether you like it or not, Moody, by discussing the flight out there. And Jimmy, you'll be very proud, I suppose, of the airline industry that... There is a carrier out of Albany now, which is a low-budget airfare carrier, that we got tickets from Albany to Denver, round trip, direct, no connections, $225 apiece. I mean, it was...
phenomenal.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And it was about 3 hours, 45 minutes to get out there. We literally and more descriptively jetted back by getting from Denver to Albany in 3 hours homebound. It was
really,
yeah. I mean, you could definitely make a weekend out of it. Danae had said, "Do you think Jimmy would ever come out to Colorado?" And I said, "He would only be able to stay in Denver. He probably won't be able to make it out not because of altitude affecting him, but I don't think he's that involved in the outdoors. And but yeah, he would probably like to see some of the bars in the town.
So you know, Dan, I absolutely would love to go to Colorado. I do think at some point I will make it there. I don't exactly know when, but I think it will happen.
Yeah, I mean, I sent you some photos. I haven't sent Moody any photos.
Did you? When did you send these?
I sent them to you about half an hour ago. Anyway,
okay. That explains it.
Moody.
I will take a look right now.
And then she said, what about your other host? What's his name? 3M? what's his name? And I said,
they're
come on.
They're forgetting you, Moody. Yeah, forgetting you.
Come on. Don't play around like that. You know who he is. And of course, she said, "Yeah, I think he would love this." And I said, "Yeah, it would be fun if we." And then it came to my head. I said, "It would be fantastic and terrific if we did an actual trip all together, and
like
just covered that."
Location.
You know, excuse me.
Like live on location, yeah.
Yeah, live on.
I would love that for sure.
Okay, so here I don't want to take the entire program, so. I just want to discuss our flight out there is from Frontier Airlines. And what's interesting about Frontier is that on the back end of the fin of the jet, whatever that part of the jet is called, you know, the very back end, the tail wing or whatever, there's a massive photo, detailed photo of a given animal, of which every jet that they have in their fleet is a different animal, and that's the theme of their flights. So out there, going
out on the frontier, new animals every journey. Not only the animals, but the people.
Yeah, yeah, and out there,
you might see my face on the tail of one of those planes.
Yeah, that would be. I would be nervous. I would be triply nervous on those flights, Jimmy.
Seeing Jimmy's face
on
the plane you're about
terrible.
To fly on.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we had a dolphin going out, and then we had a marmot coming back. And I said to one of the flight attendants, I said, God damn it, when are you going to have the Hawaiian lion on one of these tail ends?
Wow. Wow, Dan. Wow.
I'm not going to lie to you, D-Ron, but I have no idea what a marmot is. I feel like it might have been in my range of knowledge.
It begins with an M.
I was going to say, what can you explain for Moody and I what a marmot is? But then I didn't want to insult Moody's intelligence. But thank you for stepping in there.
I feel like it's in a rodent family, right? Is
there? Yeah, yeah. It's rodent slash varmint. It's like a white weasel. That's what the picture was.
Okay. Yeah. Like a ferret kind of thing.
Yeah, like a ferret. You got it. Anyway, gotcha. Now I'm going to get to, we had a very memorable person sitting next to us on the flight. Her name was Patricia. And it brings me to this topic of, can you tell any stories of who comes to mind as the most notable person, memorable person that you've sat next to on a plane? And Patricia.
I have one by far.
Patricia midway in the flight, she took out two plastic bags like they came from, you know, I guess a convenience store. And she had in those plastic bags, and she said that she had mafia kind of connections. And she took out these homemade Italian cookies, some of which were like oozing with like glaze, like sugar syrup glaze. And then she took out what is called a turkey joint. Now, this is all very regional food from the central part of New York State, of which she was visiting her family. She was coming from L.A. and very Italian-oriented in the Utica area and that district of the central part of New York State. And she would not stop forcing the cookies and the turkey joints on me until I had three in each hand, and she kept on telling me to eat them. And I was just sick. I felt so sick at that point, because I'd love to eat, Moody, as you do, as we know Jimmy, he can he does
words in the mouth.
But I don't like to eat when I'm not active and I'm just sedentary. I don't like that. I like to you know, being on a plane, I'm not really too fond of you know, having half a dozen to a dozen cookies. especially just purely. I mean, these cookies were, you know, like Jimmy's jack-o'-lantern after going trick-or-treating. It was like each one of those. It was bad, Moody. Anyway, you guys take over.
Well, that's an amazing story, Dan. I have a great story as well. With my experience also involved a couple bags coming out of the above compartment. I thought you were almost going to say the same thing, but you went a different direction. before I get into it, Moody, do you want to comment on your most interesting
neighbor
passenger that you neighbor. Flight.
Yeah. I'll let you back clean up on this one. So it was last year. This isn't even close. This just stands out for me. And it wasn't necessarily like a crazy story or anything. It was just support came from a stranger. When I really needed it. So the last weekend that Kinga was in Hawaii, we took a flight for the weekend to the Big Island. And I told you guys about this. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, just sitting there waiting for takeoff. And this middle-aged woman starts talking to me and Kinga. Super nice, super sweet. And then she just starts asking about our story. And at this point, you know, we had already decided that we were going to stay together. But I think we were both really unsure. And telling our story to people, like, you know, we've been dating for a couple months and she's flying back to Poland. We don't really know what's going on. And this woman was just completely like supportive, I guess is the best word. Just like, hey, you know, if you guys love each other, it'll work. And it was just, it definitely stands in my memory as just like a big deal. So when you, like right when you said that that's what we were going to talk about, D-Ron, like mm-hmm. it popped right in my head. Like I just wow. remembered. So that was definitely my most impactful stranger passenger on a plane.
That's great.
Okay. No, it's very nice. I mean, you know, it's good when you have a passenger next to you that you remember for in a good way. I don't know if Dan's is necessarily a good way. Obviously, no, yours good. Is Moody.
Yeah.
Mine is also a good way for a completely different reason. But you know me, sometimes, you know, usually when I fly, I have a few more than a few in me, so I'm good to go. I'm also a bit talkative at times, but there was one flight that I will never forget, and this was Iberia Air, mm-hmm. which is a Spain airline.
Yeah,
and I use all my American Airlines miles to book a free flight from JFK to Madrid and back because I don't fly American Airlines because of the emergency landing I experienced mm-hmm. a couple hundred flights ago. So I get to JFK. I'm excited. I'm going to meet the man, the myth, the legend. I'm sorry, Moody, you're not the only one. I'm going to meet Al-Medina himself,
wow.
the city in Madrid, and we're going to go tour his roots in Morocco afterwards. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm fired up. But, you know, I'm like, man, at this point, this is one of the longest flights I've ever taken. Mm-hmm. Prior longest and at the time was to Denmark. So this one was just an hour less or so. So, I'm drinking at the bar. I have this guy next to me. We're taking some shots. We're just talking. And then, wow. you know, I asked him, hey, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm going to Madrid. I'm like, really? Okay, cool. It was like, I'm going there too. And we're on the same plane. And, you know, we go out, you know, we hammered down at, I'm talking about, we took down probably 6 to 8 BCEs, which I coined their beer can equivalents. Beer, we took down about 4 shots. So we took down about 10 BCEs before we even got on the plane.
Man.
And we go up to the counter. We go up to the counter.
How many USDs did that cost?
Oh, a lot, because you know Joe JFK. JFK is not. Anyways, I almost called it Joe FK. I don't know what's going on. I'm getting drunk just thinking about the BCEs.
Moody, so are you okay? Go up. Moody, are you breathing hard?
I didn't think so.
Okay, it must be Jimmy.
You want me to turn my mic off?
No, not at all. No, it must have been some other sound. I think it's no.
I don't
you're good.
It was. I heard it as well. But anyways, let's move on. We'll get back to Moody's breathing in a second. and this guy at the time I was before I moved to Singapore, I was 25 or 26. So it was 6-7 years ago. And, you know, this guy was upper 30s, low 40s. And I think I ended up finding out I was like 38. So we're just pounding. He's a Native American. So he's telling me some stories, this and that. He actually lives in a tribe and in, the Native American zone with some of his family. And so we're just talking about us. Really, it was a real interesting guy. This guy is a pretty big, you know, mm-hmm. not half muscular. Half muscles, half, you know, just a big guy.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's, you know, he could make some moves if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So he, him and I, we were having a good time. We end up going up to the gate when we're ready to board. We ask, hey, can we sit together? And we end up sitting together on the flight. So it was like, everything was great. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. You know, we're pounding down wine. You know, our BCEs were up to, 15, I think, right within, 30 minutes into the flight. And that's about 4 hours. So we were lit up, no doubt about it. And then, he starts talking. He was like, yeah. So I asked, what are you doing? He said he was getting paid to go to Spain. He actually wasn't. His end destination was not Madrid. His end destination was, I think, Greece, I believe.
No, I thought his end destination was intoxication. Okay.
Well, that's where we both went. But after that, that was just a layover intoxication. But that was nice, Dan. So what we end up, we get on. So he's telling me more about his story. He's like, yeah, you know. And then he's like, yeah, yeah, I'll show you what I'm carrying. And I'm like, okay, interesting. Then he also comes down with 2 gallon. I know maybe they're not. I think they're like 5 gallon bags. I don't know. They were big bags. They were obviously in his suitcase. So I could be wrong on the measurement. But they were big Ziploc bags
mm-hmm.
full of peyote.
Really?
And he actually was a medicine healer.
So
he had permits to carry it. He had a license. He showed me all of it. He had a permit to carry. But at this point, everything for me went from fun to paranoia. I'm like, oh man, you know, what if he's, yeah, you know, I'm worried about, you know, why is he telling me all of this? You know, and then he gets into like, you know, this sleazy story of himself. It went from, you know, hey, we're just chatting, you know, having fun, talking about things, you know, having a good time, bringing it to his sleaziness. And I'm like, oh my God, I was petrified. Like the second half of the plane, I stopped drinking. Didn't sober up by any means. Yeah, I was a bit nervous.
Oh my goodness.
I was worried. I was worried he was going to try to ask me to, like, you know, smuggle this through or something, or what's going on here. And I was really intoxicated. So I think that's why my mind was, you know, playing tricks on me.
Moody.
Nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
It was fine in the end.
Hold on. Let me ask Moody this. Moody, for Jimmy to identify someone as, you know, a distorted
really
sleaze, that's got to be.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the exact same thing. For him to speak about someone else, like, they really got to be into some stuff.
Wow.
You know what the difference between you, Dan, and Moody is? Moody thought it, but he didn't say it.
I know, that's polite.
Damn it. I'm joking. But
he was a medicine.
All jokes aside,
he's like a medicine man.
He didn't look like a medicine man to me, you know? I mean, yeah, that's...
Shaman.
Yes, indeed. And... You know, it was a great, you know, it just, he was an awesome guy. I was happy he slept the final 3 hours of the flight. I was sitting there paranoid, just looking. I think I went to the bathroom, checked my bags, make sure I didn't put anything in there. When I got off the flight, checked all my bags before I went through customs, just in case, you know, you don't know. I mean,
sure.
He puts that on me, I'm done. Game over. Which actually brings me to another question. That is my story. It was a great experience. I've had many other decent neighbors on planes and also some really bad ones. I should tell you another story. I should.
Yeah. Let's hear Moody. Should we allow Jimmy to tell one more story?
I vote yes.
Okay. Moody says yes. And that completely nullifies my vote. If he says yes,
you were going to vote no, Dan.
No, I am voting yes.
Cause you have no choice.
Okay. Go ahead, Jimmy. You have the air.
So this is a quick one. My other story was I was going from Singapore back to New York. I flew, don't remember the airline. I think it was Qatar Airlines. So I think it was Singapore to Doha. And then we had the 13-hour flight from Doha to JFK. And I had this big guy. He was from Cambodia. This massive guy. He's talking to me. And this was about 4 years ago. He's like, hey, he's like trying to introduce me to his daughter. His daughter wasn't on the plane, but he was telling me about his daughter. His daughter was so beautiful and this and that. Didn't have any pictures, this and that. And then, you know, there was a whole row next to me that was like completely vacant. So it was a three seat, a 3-4-3 configuration on the plane. So there was three rows. One had three seats. One had four seats. The other one had three seats. So I was in the middle aisle on the left side. And, you know, the whole row next to me was completely vacant. I already talked to the steward. She said, yeah, once we get to cruising altitude, please go ahead and take it. So before we got to cruising altitude, this old lady just ran in and just jumped, literally, I mean, like, dove on these three seats.
Oh, terrible.
And I'm just like, wow, okay. And then I said, hey, excuse me, you know, I actually was going to sit there. Now, I would have given up. I mean, it's an older lady. I would have given up.
Yeah.
And she had, like, a real nasty, snobby response.
You've got to be kidding.
Yeah, no, I kid you not. I was hoping the plane was going to go down, but then I realized, oh wait, I'm on the plane, so it can't go down. So then I'm stuck. I'm stuck next to this big guy.
Yeah,
I'm stuck next to this big guy next to me, and he's from Cambodia, nice guy, this and that. So then after that debacle happens, I drink myself, you know, to a calmer level, and the guy next to me, he pulls his shoes off, and oh man, the odor immediately. I'm like, oh no. Oh no, his feet smelled like garbage, to say the least. That's actually a compliment, I think. And then he started snoring, and this guy snored like a monster, like a monster. And I had people four rows in front of me complaining to the stewards about this guy, and no one could wake him. No one could stop the monstrous snores from his nose, his mouth.
You've got to be kidding.
I kid you not. That was just a terrible flight altogether.
Wow.
Although he was from Cambodia, he is actually a U.S. citizen. So it has nothing to do against the Cambodian people. I know I did point out that he was from there, but I love Cambodia.
Okay.
I love.
But anyways,
Of course, I would say after I just.
I love when there's the comment of, you know, trashing a place, and then you guys say in the end, I love the place. I love it.
It was just a person.
I love the people.
A person. It was just a person, not a place.
Yeah. Okay. It's like
if you want me to bust on a place, I have no problem talking about Montreal, Canada, but this was a person. I love Cambodia.
That's okay.
I've been there
a few
times.
Moody trashed Churchtown, and he didn't have to pay the repercussions I did because I have to go through there frequently. Okay.
I remember that one,
Moody.
Okay. So anyway.
You're the Hawaiian Lion now, but you were the Churchtown clown at one point.
I don't know about that. I don't think anyone's ever.
It was the best thing I could come up with in life. Literally 1 second. I apologize, Moody. I apologize.
Hey, I'm actually impressed. I'm not even mad about it.
All right. Okay. That's enough. So getting back to the trip in Colorado, we flew in late at night. We got our rental. We immediately went to the hotel, which was about 20 minutes outside of downtown Denver. And it was on our way 3 hours southwest to Buena Vista, the Arkansas River Valley, to the to where Danae's sister lives. Anyway, we stayed in a place called Lakewood in a hotel. And Jimmy, I don't know. I know that you're a bit high end. I know that you like to have, you know, comfort, and you're a little higher maintenance, but.
Do I travel, and did I recently travel and stay at 5-star hotels? Yes. Continue.
There you go. Moody.
I just wanted to say
Moody
that.
Moody and I are coming from humbler beginnings, and we rough it sometimes.
I think I come from more humble. I think Moody and I are aligned in our humble beginnings. I would say.
Okay.
You, I think you have a little bit higher of a beginning than us.
That's probably.
I just
true.
Have to be honest. Okay. I don't think so.
No, Moody is the. He has become the humble crumble.
Did you say the humble crumble?
No. All right.
The Hawaiian lion, the golden voice, the humble crumble. Oh, it's getting better and better for you, Moody.
I don't even know what that means, but
the
it's
Churchtown clown. Oh, it's getting better and better. I love you, Moody.
All right, enough.
I couldn't help.
So anyway, we stayed in this hotel. It was a great hotel. I mean, by all means, It had all the features that we needed, which was, you know, a bed and a bathroom, shower, whatever, whatnot.
Oh, no.
No, no.
I can assume it's not much better than your place.
No, the only critique would be that it was dated. It was just a dated interior. Jimmy, the breakfast buffet was outstanding in the morning. And I don't know.
Dan, you are a man who has bread and butter for breakfast. I'm sure anything would be outstanding. My God.
So, I mean,
Moody,
it was...
talk to him, please. I oh, my God. I feel bad for... Did Danae pick this hotel or did you pick the hotel?
It was... No, we did it together. It was...
Anyway. I hope... If she took over, I would feel that it was at least
it was just
acceptable.
It was great. It brings me to the point where I want your contribution.
How much did it cost?
It was a great hotel.
Did you say that?
It was like $120 a night. It was a great hotel.
That's fair. That sounds right.
And it was dated in the interior, you know, like mid 90s. It was like a college dorm sort of that's what it felt like, more so the interior, whatnot. But a big atrium where the lobby was, and you know, hanging plants, and it was red and gold kind of decor. But it was, you know, just design wise, it was dated. Mood. I mean, you're in a very.
It sounds. I have to say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but yep. You are so descriptive, and you should write a book. But you know, to me, so far, the vision I'm getting is something out of The Shining at the moment.
No. But actually, The Shining was set in the Arkansas River Valley near Leadville. That's where the actual hotel is, just miles from where we stayed.
Did you see it?
No, we didn't go to it.
No.
I know. Maybe that would bring Jimmy to, you know, beyond Denver. I know he's you know, the morbidness of him. Anyway, it brings me to the topic. I suppose we've had this before, but Moody, have you ever been off put, or have you ever been just in a bad mood, or in a, I guess, uncomforted from where you've stayed, or are you just? I take you as someone who is very satisfied. You become satiated quite easily.
Moody is satisfied with the hallway outside of his hotel room door. Moody is satisfied with the hallway outside of his hotel room, as we all know. And Moody knew I was going there.
Okay. Clarify to the listeners, Jimmy. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, by the way. Clarify. Okay, you have to qualify description.
I will not qualify, but I will let Moody say whatever he wants to say about that.
Okay.
First of all, before I qualify the hallway sleep, I just want to go back to, I don't know if D-Ron was trying to give me a compliment or trying to knock me down. Yeah, Moody, you're a very easily satiated man. I don't know what, anyway.
You are. No, that's a complete compliment. It means that you you accept what it is and you're not high maintenance like Jimmy.
You're easygoing. You're easygoing.
Okay. Yeah. It's like you and I are the same in that regard.
So in Vegas,
Moody, I don't think it's necessary you go into it. Okay. I was just happy that you knew exactly what I was going to say. Right?
So it's a funny story. It's a funny story, and it'll be a segue, or at least down the road here a little bit, to some upcoming travel for me.
Yes, and something I do want to bring up on this show as well. So please take us away then, Moody. Please do.
So all it was, D-Ron, is, you know, we're drinking on the casino floor, and I get too drunk. I go upstairs to look for my room and responsibly pass out. Mm. What happened was, and to this day, I don't know.
D-Ron was on the trip, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The way you were talking, I wasn't sure if you remember that he was there.
I'm just telling the story through telling it to D-Ron, but thanks for calling me out once again.
Whoa. Okay.
It was just funny to me. Continue.
All right. So to this day, I don't know if I lost my key or what I think happened, and this makes me sound much more stupid, is I was just trying my key in the wrong room number.
Oh,
Wow. And I just
what is
gave
worse
up.
Is unknown.
What?
Whoa. What? Which option is worse? We don't know. Both are
no,
pretty
it's definitely
bad.
Worse. It's definitely worse if I had the means to get into my room.
Yeah.
But just gave up because I was too stupid to figure out, and then just fell asleep on the floor.
Well, and then you,
I don't know.
You became...
I mean, if you thought you're
Moody, let's take this to a more, I guess, deeper conversation, and it comes into the topic of vulnerability. You were more or less you appeared homeless in the hotel hallway, and you were just simply
yes,
roomless.
Yes, it was
but,
priceless.
You put yourself out to be vulnerable because our group wasn't entirely comprised of responsible people. And in that, I mean to mention and call out one notable person who goes by the code or the nickname of Body. And you're very fortunate that nothing had happened to you.
Yeah, I definitely am. That could be said about many times in my life, but yes.
So
very fortunate.
Yeah. Anyway, Jimmy, we unfortunately only have 25 minutes left. I'm just going to blow right through the trip in way of highlights and whatnot, and then we'll get on to
yeah.
you in Beijing and you in Shanghai and you in Tibet and the western reaches
Tibet.
Of China. Anyway.
Yes,
so,
please tell us, Dan. Please
so the,
continue.
So the drive from Denver to the valley, to Buena Vista, where my girlfriend's sister lives, is just spectacular. And I'm very glad we had stayed at the hotel so that we could not only drive, not only have the breakfast buffet in the morning, but drive in the light to see the surroundings. And it's got to be one of the most spectacular drives I've ever been on. And I've been on many different roads throughout the states and different parts of the world. But it is constantly going up at an easy grade. But right beside us, I believe it's State 285 from Denver towards Buena Vista, the river valley, the Arkansas River Valley. And it's going up constantly. And we're just at the precursor hills to the Rockies, and we're going from one set of rambling valley to another, and there's cattle ranches on every side, and a creek that's just raging with beautiful snow-melt water, and it looks like something from a storybook setting. And as we get further and further along, the snow peaks of the Rockies become clearer and clearer and more attainable in way of seeing. And it was just, I mean, it was majestic in that regard. And then finally, we summit over a crest of a hill, and right before us are just massive range of 14,000-foot peaks. And so that was that drive in itself is well worth it, even if you're just to turn right back and go back to Denver from there. Okay. So anyway, after that we stayed with her sister, and right outside of her porch is Mount Princeton. So it's about 8,000 feet up. Buena Vista is. In way of elevation, and then right beyond us is Mount Princeton, which is 14,000 plus feet high, and then all around us, as we're in this valley, we get a panoramic view of the Rockies, and yeah, I mean, definitely one of the top 10 most beautiful places I've seen. Any comments?
Awesome. That's very nice, Dan. That's awesome. I mean, good yeah. for you. Happy that you. I mean, really, I'm just happy you got to take some time off from work. I'm happy Danae made you do that, and you know, you deserve it. You should take some more time off and go travel more. You know me; I'm not the outdoorsy kind of person. But you know, at the same time, I do get caught up in that stuff from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, Moody. Any comments? Have you been on a road like that before?
I don't think so. Not really what you mentioned. Oh, well, yeah, one time me and an ex-girlfriend went to West Virginia and just kind of stayed in, like, cabins and just in the middle of nowhere. But the hikes weren't as beautiful as you described. So maybe, yes, yeah, so maybe I got to take some time in the Rockies for sure.
Well, anyway, wildlife was another item, which we saw elk. We saw, let's see, we did see some marmots. We saw antelope, which are the second fastest land animal in the world. And,
besides me.
Sure. And then actually, which
okay,
is
fair enough.
Which is sad, but we actually saw a dead mountain lion on the side of the road from Denver to out. And yeah, they're out there. But Danae's nephew and I, we climbed this little peak above Independence Pass one day, which Independence Pass is 12,000 feet high, and then we climbed to about 13,000 feet on a mountain in the vicinity. We saw this beautiful coyote right below Independence Pass in the marshlands where the water from the peaks are collecting and everything. And he had his rifle with him, and he took a shot at the coyote, about 150-yard shot, and he missed. I didn't want him to hit the coyote, and then we went on like a half-hour-long trek through the marshes to find if there was any sign of him hitting the coyote, any blood detection or whatnot. But we came back, no indication of that, Moody. So you know. Still,
what would he have done with the coyote?
He skins it. He collects the hides and sells the hides and the furs and whatnot. But yeah, he's quite the hunter, and he's quite the marksman too. But he missed that shot. So he goes after just about every animal that's out there. Now, Moody. My girlfriend's sister has seen a wolverine in Colorado, and it is officially, by way of the state, the DOW, I believe, is the wildlife agency. They claim that grizzly bears do not habitate in Colorado State whatsoever. They do in Wyoming. It's such a, it's a complete made-up farce is what it is. And it's like saying that there's not mountain lions where you guys had left, that is New York State, and there certainly are. And I know Jimmy will probably never go beyond the confines of the plazas in Greenport or the streets of Hudson now if he ever gets back to Columbia County. But Mood. I mean, when you get back, I'd love to go on a hike with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Jimmy's welcome to come along. We could rent out a Segway if he needs it for assistance so he doesn't have to move.
That might be good.
Anyway, abundant with wildlife. Jimmy, I'll just get to a couple more points. We climbed this beautiful hike up Mount Ontario. Another 14,000-foot mountain to get to a waterfall, but obviously we didn't. We're probably only about 12,000 feet up at that point to get to our destination, the waterfall. And then, I also learned some interesting items in way of animals. One of which is that the cattle out there are not. Their nature is not the domesticity and the calmness, or you cannot approach them as you can out east here, where cattle, I know that Moody probably has, having grown up in Churchtown and probably he's tried cow tipping before. You can approach a cow quite easily. And I grew up with cattle, and but out there, they are like wild, timid. You know, they are nearly unapproachable, and they range, you know, for miles and miles without end. And anyway, also, what I learned, Jimmy, is that during the thunderstorm, lightning months. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. That you should not be hiking midday to about evening if you're going to seek to get to the peaks of the 14,000-foot mountains, being that almost from end of June through September, daily there's lightning and thunderstorms, and the it becomes an extreme hazard and extremely dangerous by way of the rock being a conductivity force with those lightning storms and the peaks. And it becomes quite a danger. I don't know if Moody knew that. I know that he has climbed to the craters of volcanoes in Hawaii. But, you know, at least in the Rockies, that's a situation that if you are hiking, you need know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, beyond that, I could talk for another few programs about everything that's happened, but I'm not going to. So on our way back, we stayed at another airport hotel. Woolies was the name. It was a nice hotel. We had terrible bar food. It was just terrible. We should have went to Applebee's instead, which is a, quite the...
That's
yeah,
saying something.
That's saying something. Anyway, one of the one of the most memorable moments, and I was very excited, was that when we were when Danae was checking her bag, one of the employees for checking at the desk, she began to yell at everyone. She said it was like 4:30 in the morning, and she just said, "It's going to go. This process is going to go a whole lot faster if you have your ID out with your ticket." And I just, like, I was a little sleepy, and that woke me up. I, like, put my head back. I almost hit someone, like a reverse headbutt. And I said to my girlfriend, I said, "Whoa, that was awesome. I hope we get her when we're checking her bag." Unfortunately, we didn't. We got a much more pleasant employee. And, yeah, actually, it was... it woke everyone up in line. I was like, "This is how I want to be treated."
Yeah,
yeah. All right, just one last
power
item.
Power to you.
One last.
No, I agree. I mean, you're absolutely right. You got to treat people right.
One last item before you guys take it away is that when we were about to board Denver to Albany direct flight. My girlfriend had spotted someone, and she said, "Whoa, do you think Jimmy would wear that? Does Jimmy wear that onto the plane?" And I looked over, and I saw what I guess could only be described as a flight pillow, one in which you put a, you know, it goes along your shoulders and supports your neck. You've seen them, I'm sure, Jimmy. A flight
only pillow. What about 30% of everyone who flies on a plane has?
I guess. Anyway, Moody, do you know what I'm describing? Flight pillow?
Exactly what you're talking
yeah, yeah,
about,
yeah,
yeah.
And I began to laugh, and I said, if he hasn't before and he doesn't know what it is, he certainly will, but I'm pretty sure he does. And I just kept on laughing. And I then said to Danae, I'm pretty sure that Jimmy probably wears that beyond the flights. He just wears that daily out and about. From his commute out of the shower to get to work and then back again. But anyway, Denise, she said to me later, "No, I wasn't talking about the flight pillow at all. I was talking about the slippers that the man had on." And I was like, "Oh, come on. He doesn't wear those on board." Anyway, it was I just kept on laughing. So...
Moody, you might want to actually check your Facebook Messenger there, because, man, it's hilarious you said that, because I actually am wearing one right now. I kid you not. I just sent – I know you don't have social media, but I just took it off and sent a picture of it to Moody.
Hold on. Checking.
Okay. I bet. That's amazing that you have
but,
one.
But actually, I have never, ever once worn one on a plane, and I don't – It's actually Patira's. It's not mine.
Okay.
She has it. I actually don't like it, but I've been
noticing when I carry my work bag, my neck is getting really kinked. I actually just bought a backpack yesterday, a nice business work backpack, so I don't have to carry this shoulder strap backpack, you know, work bag anymore. So that's the only reason why I wear it, just more so my neck is, I don't get any neck spasms and things like that. But yeah, I actually don't wear them. When I am traveling on a plane, I like to look I like to look pretty businessy as possible. I have downgraded myself a lot over the last 5 years, but you never know who you're going to meet on a plane, and it's always good to, you know, in my opinion, to, you know, make a good first impression with anyone you meet.
Yeah.
So,
whether it be medicine men or you know, Cambodian, you know, big shots.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Indeed.
Jimmy, I think it's your turn to take over. You've been traveling profusely through China. I don't know how Moody pronounces China, but why don't we hear from you? Moody, I hope we could get 3 minutes, hopefully, from your end, being that you've haven't been on since July. And Jimmy, we'll take it from there,
long.
Right?
Yeah, no, so so don't worry, Moody. I'm gonna get to you really quick. Yeah, so I have traveled recently back to China, Shanghai, Hangzhou, and Beijing. Just a quick thing that I thought you would really like is that when I actually was staying in Beijing, we stayed right next to the Olympic Village. So we were staying literally right next to the venue where Michael Phelps won all his gold medals. You could see the towers where they had the torches. I have some pictures. I will send them to you. But something that you would have probably really enjoyed. It was pretty cool. I didn't expect for us to be staying there. It's not really where the companies in our industry are located, but it just ended up to be where we were staying. So it was quite nice. I'm not going to get into too much more into that because I'm going to be going back to Beijing and Shanghai and Singapore and Seoul and soon India in the next coming week. So we'll talk more about my travels, I think, in the next show and the shows after. But I do want to get into Moody. Moody, you mentioned that you're going to be traveling soon. I have a feeling I know of one of the places you're going to be going. I want to hear more about it, and I think I have some questions for you. So, Moody, take it away.
So, well, Jim, I actually wanted to talk more about the new city I'm going to see in Europe, but I think what you're talking about is the upcoming bachelor party in January in Vegas.
Indeed.
Go ahead, Moody.
So, Moody, I'm gonna before you get into the city you're gonna go through, I'm just gonna ask a quick question. So, you and I have been back and forth about this bachelor party, and there is I can go basically if I can maneuver it correctly, I can go. I have to be very careful because of my taxes, and I want to make sure I am tax exempt in the U.S. For at least a portion of my salary. So, my question to you, Moody, and maybe Kinga's listening as well, but you mentioned you're likely getting married in 2019, but you don't know when.
Right.
I can either go to the bachelor party or I can go to the wedding. The thing is, I don't know when the wedding is. The wedding could – I may not be able to go to the wedding just because of scheduling. But if you have an idea of when that is, that would be great to let me know. And secondly, if you'd rather have me go to the bachelor party also, just let me know. That one can be confirmed pretty quickly.
No, so I think the obvious answer is if the facts were all in front of us, I'd obviously want you to come to the wedding, and I still do. But I've talked to you about the visa process before. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's nothing's given. You don't know.
So you are basically waiting on. Okay, so I didn't realize. I guess so. You're waiting on the visa to be sorted out before you commit to a date and everything.
Well, it's not before we commit to it. It's before we literally can. Yeah, I mean, because we get the 90 days, but we don't know exactly when it's going to be approved and when we'll get that 90 days. So hopefully when it gets closer, we'll have a target, you know, time. But yeah, we don't have it narrowed down.
Have you applied for the K-1? I assume this is the K-1 visa you're going for. Have you applied for that yet?
Yes.
Okay. So when did you apply for it, if you don't mind me asking?
We just sent it in last week.
Okay. So you're likely to hear back and go to interview. So it's likely 3 months out. Okay. And you're having the wedding in Hawaii, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk more offline. Thank you, and sorry for making it personal on the air. Do tell us about your upcoming trip to your new European city.
I can hold off till the next show if you guys want to talk about
it. No, I have nothing else to say.
Go ahead. Talk about this.
All right. So for the first time I went to Poland, you know, I had never been there. So Kinga wanted to show me to the main spots. You know, she lives on the western border of Poland, the German border. Mm-hmm. But I flew in to Warsaw, which is 8 hours away. So we could see Warsaw, took a train down to Krakow. Took a 10-hour train back up to where she lived. You know, we were just traveling, you know. For this next trip, we really want to focus on just each other. Just, it's Christmas time. We just want to spend quality time. And truthfully, the closest airport to where she lives is in Berlin. Oh. I'm going to be there for like 16 days. I think 13 of those days are going to be in her hometown with her family. But getting in and getting out, we're going to spend either a night or two in Berlin. So,
oh, that's great.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Do you know any, do you have any itinerary planned for Berlin, or have you researched any part of it?
I don't know. Not yet, D-Ron. We actually just bought, I've been piecing my, I don't know if I said this part to you, Dan. These trips are connected, so I didn't do a round trip. I'm doing single flights. I'm going to Berlin, and from Berlin to Vegas. So over the last couple of weeks, I bought like a flight here or there. Wow. So I just confirmed that I'm actually going on this trip. So I haven't gotten too heavy into the research, but I'm definitely open for suggestions.
Okay, and I've never been there. I don't think Jimmy has either. And no. I can't give you any suggestions, really.
Oh, okay. The only thing on my itinerary, and I won't get into it because we're on the radio, but we may try out some of the subversive nightlife there. Okay. See maybe some more of the crazy scenes going on. But as far
I thought I was sleazy. I didn't even know any of the crazy scenes were in Berlin. So we're learning a lot about crazy people and sleazy people today, Dan.
Well, Jimmy,
I'm not the only one.
You know, we'll try next episode. We're going to try to redirect ourselves to be a bit more intellectual oriented.
Well,
I think these are the things to talk about.
As you know, we try to open the gates, you know, from what's going on above you right now. I think it's only proper that you talk about these things. Yeah, good job.
That would be like wrangling cats for D-Ron trying to get us to be more intellectual.
You know, I don't know much about – I really can't speak anything about Berlin other than I know the Brandenburg Gate, right, that iconic kind of entry into downtown. It's there.
Okay.
I don't know. Jimmy, you probably don't know anything about Germany. You've never even been to Germany, have you?
My last name's Hoffman. Of course, yeah. I know. I have several logs in Germany. I was actually supposed to go to Berlin when I was in Denmark. Never made it. And I've not been to Germany yet, but it's, you know, my old roommate in Singapore was from Germany. So and we witnessed, you know, when Germany went to the finals in that World Cup, and we won't talk about the end result, but when they were playing America and this and that, we were fierce rivals. So we have it's a true log on the ground. So
I read it.
Although I can't say too much more, I do know obviously of Oktoberfest. Yeah. I didn't know
that's
any
more. That's
obviously.
More.
I've heard there's quite a significant wall in Berlin, but that's all I know.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. It's all the way in the north. I mean, I've only been in the south part of Germany, and this is going to be good that one of our members on the program is going to. You know, a northern part of a country that that one of us has been to at least. Mood.
Go ahead, Dan. It's just great that, you know, you are becoming this travel animal. I mean, honestly, Dan.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that Moody would be doing all this kind of crazy travel to all these countries and this and that? I'm so proud of you, Moody.
Well,
and
yeah, I know.
You know, I'm so happy you found this girl who's encouraging you to do this, and you know, keep it going, don't stop. And
Moody,
it's awesome. So happy to have the Hawaiian lion the former church town clown to the Hawaiian line on the show.
Well, I'll say this about him, and then Moody, you have 20 seconds, is that you, with your one broadcast live in that Polish cafe, you won an award. You have many, and I hope that you do the same, another live broadcast when you're there in Berlin. But we'll see. We have 10 seconds.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Adios.